Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome, welcome to the Swamp Out the Barrel podcast. The podcast that's focusing on the vintage baseball community. We are here at the 2021 Ohio Cup. I am Swamp Fox Frias. I am joined by the ever so handsome Barrel Roller himself.
Oh, I thought you're talking about.
But as I'm leaning into our guest here, we get to sit down with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Captain Ed Schumann of the Canal Fulton Mules. Captain Ed, how are you doing today?
Man, if I was doing any better, I'd be my twin brother Andy.
Oh, that's a good one. As he sits behind us, he didn't hear that either.
No, he never hears any of it.
Oh.
He's still eating.
That's the
He is still eating a sandwich.
It's the classic brother move. Give that nice compliment.
That's where
He's eating more than one thing at a time.
Deflect the praise. Fake your way through the interview.
I love it.
I'll give another one, another shout out to him, and I'll misquote it because I'm terrible with quotes. He's good at it. You said the man, the myth, the legend, from the man who shot Liberty Valance. They said when the myth becomes fact, you print the legend. Yeah.
This facial hair that you're sporting,
yes,
it gets better as it gets closer. Normally when a woman is far away and you're like, ooh, that's a good-looking woman, and as they get closer, it's a disaster. But in this case, the facial hair just looks kind of normal, but as you get closer, it really comes into focus.
As Conan O'Brien said, a glorious mustache, right? Yes, this set of whiskers is more of a Burnside, sort of an homage to Asa Brainard of the fabulous, famous Cincinnati Reds of 1869, the large mutton chops and the soul patch.
I'm just saying, you look, this is not a visual medium, obviously, but listener, trust me, he looks fantastic. That shirt is amazing.
It came out of Uncle Sam's closet, Stars and Stripes Forever.
It looks so good. We had just got done calling the Canal Fulton Mules victorious over the Addison Mountain Stars. You guys came out really strong in that game.
Well, I'll tell you, when you roll 13 deep to Ohio Cup, you can do that. There were plenty of years when we rolled in here looking for anybody who would don the black cap and the white star. Yeah. So, you know, we set some trends back in the old days, including showing up shorthanded. That was a trend for a while.
That's still a trend to this day by every.
Yes.
That's a trend.
But thanks to about six guys from Doylestown, that's one of our we used to play a festival game there. Those six guys have made a big difference in our team. And when they're playing outfield, I call them Captain Ed's show ponies. I got three guys from Doylestown out there, and man, can they cover some ground.
We mentioned that. We noticed it. Yes. So that's really great.
So let's go over the things that we complimented you about during your match. One, the uniforms, how they are so different and the same at the same exact time.
Yeah, we sort of started this, our uniform, with the idea that we would have a common element being our hat. When we started, we had a black sash with an embroidered mule that we wore around our waist. We thought, you know, back in the, you know, antebellum days, you know, sashes were a ceremonial or decorative touch. So we felt that would be something a little different than what the other clubs were wearing. And so we all have the common white or light-colored athletic color of pants, and maybe giving people the impression of a cricket team. But light-colored flannel was popular in the summer, so I think it all fit well together. So we have light-colored pants, a patterned shirt of the player's choosing, and our club cap, which makes us uniform. So we do kind of draw a little bit of attention, if not for our play, at least for our look.
Well, I'll tell you where you drew my attention. The first time my introduction to the Mules was at the World Tournament, Greenfield Village, and there you are as the train starts coming through. I was a member of the Bay City Independents at the time. And the train is coming through, and you raise a pamphlet up in the air and start yelling, "Curse the Iron," was a horse?
Iron Beast.
Iron Beast. Yes. Curse the Iron Beast.
Canallers beware.
And I did not know the situation at the time. So I'm asking people, is that guy really angry about something?
I know.
I didn't know what was going
on. He is so good. He's so in character.
And they're like, he's on the...
Breaking the third plane, right?
He's on the Mules.
Thank you. Yeah. Fourth wall?
Fourth wall.
Yeah, I have an actor in front of me, and look at me stumble through that.
I loved every minute because I would see the faces of people, because at Greenfield Village, for the listeners out there that aren't familiar, when the train comes by, the game stops, and they give huzzas, and they cheer, and they wave, and then there's Captain Ed, curse the Iron Beast!
In the beautiful setting of baseball and joy and happiness everywhere, Captain Ed decides to spread hate and discontent.
Correct.
Yes, and that was my role, and... We come from a town where we have a historic canal boat which travels up and down the old Ohio and Erie Canal, the very same canal that comes through, or more or less, Columbus here. It was 308 miles long and spanned the state from north to south. So where we play, we have the historic canal on one side, the river on the other side. On the west bank of the river is the train track that went through in 1859, about the same year that our club, 1860, rules baseball coincide with. So we feel like we have a really great setting there where we can sort of relive the glory days right along the banks of the canal. And we sort of took some fun up with to Greenfield Village with us. We found an old anti-railroad pamphlet. It was just the text of it. And having an art background myself, I retypeset it. I put some graphics with it. And we made a little pamphlet that we did. We handed out at the games. We give it to the umpire. We tried to get Ernie Harwell to read from it the 1 year he was up there. And we've even tacked it up at the railroad station, but I don't think those lasted very long, I think, because they were not official Greenfield Village literature.
Correct.
There's been a few that have been posted here in Ohio Village before, too, but it looks like they have officially sanctioned artwork now where it might not be appreciated like the old days. It says nothing blue. The mules never work blue, but especially not on Sunday. You know, we'd hate to violate the blue laws here in the capital city of Columbus.
The Chick-fil-A of vintage baseball, the Canal Fountain Mules. Ed, tell us something about yourself, as we're running out of time in the 8-minute interview. We might go a little longer. Something about you on a personal level that vintage baseball would find interesting or odd.
We came in. The Mules came into vintage baseball in 1994. We came down here to Columbus and played the week before the Ohio Cup, and we were down a score of 10-1. And in the last inning, we scored 8 runs, had men on second and third, and the entire Ohio Village Muffin team was here as a warm up for the Cup the next week, and we took them right to the limit, and we came up one run short with a guy on third, and I found that that's the part I like about vintage baseball the most. It's not winning, losing. It's when you can look at your opponent and you see them shake a little bit, knowing that guy across from them might just be able to beat them. And we've had a lot of fun over the years with some of our arch enemies, the Akron Blackstockings, yeah. You know. Yeah. Columbus Capitals have never really been too scared of us, but beyond that, we've always had a lot of fun. One of the things I would say as a takeaway, I got into vintage baseball, again, because it tied into the historic canal boat in Canal Fulton, but when I was, 11, 12-year-old, 13-year-old was the first year that you had to be picked to make the team. And I wasn't picked for the team. And that was the end of my baseball career at the ripe old age of 13. And I thought, I'll never get to play again. When this stuff came around, I had an opportunity not just to take my ball and go home, but I told myself I was going to learn to make the ball. So for a lot of years, I made baseballs and even convinced the guys in Minnesota that I was the official ball supplier of Minnesota Vintage Baseball. But that is part of the legend. We created a lot of legendary stuff back in the 90s. I don't know how many people remember it. I don't know how many of the newer teams heard of it or know about it. We didn't spread as far as baseball has spread now, so our legend may not be as big outside of Ohio, but we sure feel like the Mules are something special and just love to come down here and create a scene.
One of the hidden gems of Ohio. The Canal Fulton Mules. Let me tell you.
They're not hidden.
I have, not to me. I mean,
not to me.
I've got my mule sash. It's prominently at home.
Right. And that's kind of one of our trademarks. We've become the Ellis Island of vintage baseball. Those of you familiar with the poem at the base of the statue, give me your tired, your poor, your tempest-tossed, your hungry, and we'll take the tired arms, the poor in spirit. We've got players from at least three different teams that have folded, have joined our team. And we had a guy used to drive up from Columbus to play with us because he told us when he joined the team that he just liked the way our team carried themselves. And Rudy himself, Swamp Fox, got his nickname on our field after one of the floods in the spring that flooded our baseball field. And we talked him into playing with us when he was acting in Cleveland one summer. So he's one of our own. Even if he's not up there, he's in our hearts.
And honestly, it comes down to I wasn't a second thought when, because I knew I wasn't going to be playing baseball in Columbus. And Captain Ed and Pappy are essentially family. We've known them for so long that I was like, when the opportunity came up, I jumped on it to be a mule. And I got, you know, I miss it. So.
And there's the origins of the Swamp Fox replacing Boo Boo as the nickname for Rudy Frias.
I told you that in confidence.
We're going to test how many people listen to this. Ed, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate you. You definitely made an impact on me, just somebody who didn't know of the existence of the mules. And now very much does. And please come to Frankenmuth. Can I say that? Is that too much?
No,
to?
You could, yeah.
Please come to Frankenmuth.
Do you have another 8 minutes? What are we doing here?
I don't know. Was there something that you wanted to talk about?
I didn't.
We haven't stopped yet.
We can go on for a long time. Rudy knows that. I love to sit and talk about old-time baseball. You know, the road trips to the games, sometimes I get a captive audience, and I start in. And even my own players say, oh, I didn't know that's what was going. And I think it's lost a lot of times because we're so hungry to get players to fill out our rosters that they lose why we're doing this and what the cool parts of doing this is beyond playing baseball. I won't take that away from anybody. There's nothing cooler than coming out and playing a pickup game of ball, you know, on a beautiful day. But the recreation of this history is fascinating to me. And we've done such a great job of it, we can see us recreating the bad parts of the game as well as the good parts. You see the amateurism convert to professionalism. You know, our recreation games, we see the clubs having fun to the clubs wanting to win tournaments. And yep. It's just fun to see how really you can't change this. The evolution is set. The DNA is there. You wind it up, you let it loose, and baseball is going to evolve, and it's sort of along the same paths.
Absolutely.
I want to talk to him for 3 hours.
You could sit here. Wait till you get both of them.
We could ride back to Bay City, and by then you'd be tired of
Oh,
me.
My gosh, these guys.
No.
No.
So I'll definitely be hitting you up in the future for one of my hour-long podcasts, Ed.
Well, sure. I'll do my best to fill whatever time you have available.
All right. You got any more matches today?
We have one more. We're going to play the Tippecanoe Canal Jumpers.
Mm.
These guys sort of trying to horn in on our act of being the famous canal team of the state of Ohio.
Oh,
but they're on the Miami and Erie bitter. Canal as opposed to the Ohio Erie Canal. This one, obviously, I mentioned we go through Columbus with the Ohio and Erie Canal. So the Miami and Erie Canal, we just don't think is as popular. Therefore, Tippecanoe shouldn't be nearly as popular as the mules are.
I love it.
All right. Thanks, Ed, for stopping by. We wish you safety in your match and on the way home.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.